Let's begin our worship now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of our God. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Please stand as we pray. Father, that you condescended to make a covenant with David, a mere man, though in many ways we would think he is greater than us as a king, you made a covenant with him, a covenant you have kept in your son Jesus, who even now sits upon David's throne, waiting for you to bring all of his enemies under his feet. So even as we gather to worship now, may you be subduing those enemies through the gospel, bringing people into faithful allegiance to Jesus because of his grace and because of his mercy. And help us to have hearts filled with gratitude and joy over the coming of your eternal Son in flesh and bone to be not just King Jesus, but to be Savior Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together. Hark, the herald angels sing. It's number 203. Please be seated. If you'd like to read along, it's Genesis 3, verses 8 through 15, bringing us back to the fall of man. Adam and Eve have just sinned, just for context. They have realized their shame and have made clothing of themselves, for themselves rather. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Here we have the first promise of a Redeemer who would come to vanquish God's enemies. In light of that, let's sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," hymn number 201. Please stand as you're able. Please be seated. I have three different passages for you at this point. One of which was read in our worship service this morning at Desert Springs. It has to do with the promise of the righteous branch from Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And from Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's respond by singing Angels We Have Heard on High, number 214.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Not sure why I have Ezekiel there. Verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Please stand as you're able. What child is this? Hymn number 213.
Thank you.
be seated. It matters not whether you are peasant or king or anything in between, but as we sang, what matters is that we recognize our sin and our need for one to rescue us, and Jesus has come to do just that, to rescue sinners. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. The context is she has gone to see her relative Elizabeth, who blessed her and broke out in song. And now Mary responds. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." Let's pray. Father, we've heard many of these verses which talk about your plan of salvation, which is not about us doing things, but it is about what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. This Son of David, who reigns forever, but yet came to a humble virgin, who was born in a humble stable, who lived as the humble son of a carpenter by the name of Joseph. Help us to be awestruck at this confounding thing that you have done. This man who would keep your law perfectly. This man who would lay down his life for people who hated him. As Christopher comes to bring your word, may you indeed open our ears. And may you indeed open our minds and shine your light into them. May you indeed open our hearts that we may love these truths and so be saved. In Christ's name, amen.
One of the most important books that has ever been written about the incarnation of the Son of God was written by a 4th century Christian from Egypt named Athanasius. And the title of that book is called, unsurprisingly, On the Incarnation. The thing I want to draw your attention to from that book is something Athanasius says in chapter 6. He said that not believing in the incarnation, in the life, in the death, in the resurrection of Jesus, it makes no sense if you claim to believe the scriptures, because, as he puts it, from cover to cover, the inspired book clearly teaches these things, both in its entirety and in its actual words. And we've seen that here tonight, beginning with the promise in Genesis 3, "And he shall bruise your head," as he speaks to the serpent that we all might hear, all the way up to his words to Mary and beyond. And of course, you don't have to take Athanasius' words for it, because Jesus says the same thing himself. You might remember that after his resurrection, he appears to two men walking along the road, two disappointed disciples leaving Jerusalem, going to another village, walking away from the action and having this conversation among themselves. What is this conversation you are holding, Jesus says. What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? This is in Luke 24. And they stood still, these two men, after the resurrection of Christ, looking sad. They explained the situation to Jesus. They explained that over the last 3 days, things had gone wrong. Everything that they were hoping for, everything that they were waiting for, this great, long-expected Jesus or the Messiah seems to have not turned out to be the Messiah. Quote, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened." Do you want to know what Jesus' response was to these men? The resurrected, incarnate Jesus' response was to these two men. He said to them, Luke 24, 25, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a Bible lesson that must have been. And I hope that you have seen this and even experienced the truth of this yourself tonight. As you hear the promises made concerning the Messiah from the very beginning through the scriptures, through the law, through the prophets, in the Psalms, all the way into the New Testament. As we read these different passages of scripture, you see that the incarnation, though surprising and startling to us all, in some ways should never have been. The miraculous power of God had been present from the very beginning, when to those whom he said, "You shall surely die because of your sin," he promised life. He promised victory over the one that sought to separate them from God. "And you shall bruise his head." From cover to cover, from Moses to the prophets, the scriptures are filled with news about Jesus. And they tell us about him. They tell us about the victory he brings, the hope he brings. They tell us that forgiveness of sins is possible through him. That all that fell apart there at the beginning, God promises to bring together at the end. And in some ways, we are still waiting for that end. It's true. We have sorrows. We have sins. We find ourselves experiencing all kinds of difficulties. Maybe some of you are even afraid of the things coming in the new year. We are still waiting for everything to be set right. But these promises, though they certainly create in us an expectation for an everlasting kingdom that will have no end and will be perfect in every way and we will be protected in every way by King Jesus, I want you to know tonight that the coming of Christ is not just at the end. It's not just ahead of us. It's something that has already begun. Christ has come. The coming has begun. He said this to Mary, "And you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom and of his kingdom there will be no end." No end. The bruising of Satan's head that was promised to Eve is promised to end in a final crush when Jesus comes. And this is what we are waiting for. But we don't wait as people who are just sort of throwing out something into the darkness, hoping that something will come back to us. No, we wait on the Word of God that has been spoken again and again and again and again. A Word that is untrue or true. A Word that is reliable in every aspect of it. A Word that holds together perfectly and solidly in every way. How can you know? Because the Christ has been born. For unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has done this. When a virgin conceived by the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus, the salvation of the world. Our next hymn is all about this. Come, thou long expected Jesus. It's a Christmas carol which reflects on the waiting of the people of God throughout the centuries, year after year, trusting in one thing, the Word of God, waiting for all things to be made right through this offspring. But it's also a carol in which we express our desire that what has begun in Him will be completed in Him. As you sing tonight, and as you leave tonight, make sure that you know Him, that you hope in Him, that you long in Him, because here in Him is the only salvation of the world, and all by the power and the mighty grace of God. Praise be to His name. Amen. Would you stand with me and respond to our Lord by singing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn 196.
Let us pray. Father, we live in an age of fear. Every day we hear on the news, on the internet, around the water cooler, and a number of other places, cause to fear. Whether true fear or false fear, we know not. We only hear things that make us fear. We need release. Jesus has said, "Come to me, ye weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Father, I know that there are many here this evening that are weary and heavy laden. They're weary from the demands that they place upon themselves. They're weary from the demands that others may place on them. They're weary from always trying to put on the best face possible. They're weary from carrying the weight of the world upon their shoulders, which they were never intended to do. The same Jesus in this same place said that invited those weary people to find rest and to take his light yoke upon them. We thank you that it is light, because Jesus has borne the brunt of it all. That he didn't come to be in a palace and be waited upon hand and foot, but he came to die, that he might set us free. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would convince us of this, so that we would be released of those fears that we still cling to, that we would be set free from those doubts that enslave us, so that we would be filled with praise and thanksgiving, so that we would be ones who are speaking of hope instead of fear. That we would be ones who share this longing with others so that they might long with us for the return of the glorious King, for the return of the gentle Shepherd, for the return of our great High Priest who has endured temptation in every way just like us and yet sinned not. Help us to long. Help us to wait. Help us to rest. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. A Silent Night, Holy Night, hymn number 210. you come from a family of warriors. And unfortunately, my daughter has it too. And yesterday, we had to do something, and she had built up this great fear in her heart and in her head. And those are the moments we need to remember, passages like this, where we speak the truth to ourselves so that we can stop our foolish fearfulness and remember that there is one who is great, who is for us and not against us. And so receive this benediction, which is one of my favorite. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.